You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Yo, 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 we're back. Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com. What's going on, everyone? Hopefully, this is not buffering too bad. We have a very, very special episode for you today. Google Ads for Dropshipping 2020, $10,000 plus formula. As a few more people join, just to let you guys know, I'm here. Got the Elite Fleet shirt on, the Elite Sheet, keeping me warm as we transition to autumn and then winter. BuildAssetsOnline.com/sheet. Pick up your own Elite Sheet today.
Isn't it fleece?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is. It's something.
I can't see your video until it comes on YouTube. I didn't realize you got the Elite Fleece.
Yeah, I don't know if it's buildassetsonline.com/sheet or a buildassetsonline.com/sheet, but you know, you can use it.
You just said the same thing twice. I mean, fleece?
It's a tongue twister. Why don't you find out what it is? I'll show you all the ways that you can use the Elite Fleece. So you can put it on your legs, to keep warm. You can use it as Russian babushka. You put on head, and you make money online. So
it's fleece. It's buildassetsonline.com/fleece.
So go buy Elite Fleece, buildassetsonline.com/fleece. You use as blanket, you use as babushka, you use as leg covering. And that's about it. But Mike, I have no idea what's going on in today's show. Tell us what's happening.
Well, we're going to talk about Google Ads. I got the heat turned up in this room. I'm sweating. I'm fired up. I gotta get loose for this because we're gonna be dropping some jewels.
That's what I like to hear.
We'll see. We'll see who's ready. We got people smashing the dislike button already. It's all good. The bots are here. The Russian bots.
All right.
Very mediocre Russian accent. Dislike.
So should we get right into it, Mike? Let's get to the first slide. We have 11 people here. Google Ads for Dropshipping 2020. Of course, we want to tell people real quick, buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Get our free course today. We'll talk more about that at the end. We're not going to bombard you with that. We want to get to the core of the show here. Now, Mike, why Google Ads for Dropshipping? What is this query-based marketing stuff?
There's a reason I put the link to the online asset playbook in the first slide, and it wasn't just for shameless self-promotion. That was part of it. But it's because we're going to talk about Google Ads for Dropshipping, but this is only going to pertain to high ticket dropshipping, because if you're doing low ticket, if you're doing something else, whatever, your own brand, this probably is not going to pertain unless it is high ticket. And truthfully, you should not be doing anything e-commerce related if it is not high ticket. We've discussed this in depth in many videos, even the last video we just made about all sorts of stupid stuff. I don't even remember what the title of the video was, but we're looking at water bottles. We were looking at sheets. So this is for high ticket. And this is going to focus on query-based marketing. So Google Ads is the biggest source in the world for doing query-based marketing. What does that mean? A query is a question. I guess you can think about it that way. Or it's simply someone going and typing in what they want versus intent-based marketing, where, say, like Facebook, you go into an audience manager and you say, okay, I want to target people who have this particular intent. So they're not necessarily doing anything. They're just an audience that you're going after. Query is you are targeting people who are searching a specific thing. So if you go to the next slide, Joe.
Next slide, here we are.
There's a bunch of different types of Google Ads. So the main four is Google Shopping Ads, also known as Google Product Listing Ads. You have Google Search Ads, which is, you know, like a text ad. When you search something online and then say you search Geico, it pops up top couple results. Those are paid promotion. You have Google Display Ads, like you'll see on different blogs, basically just regular kind of sidebar advertising slots. And you also have YouTube ads. And then there may be some other types of ads that Google helps and employs, but these are really the main four. And within these, there are ones that are more important than others. And so we're going to get into that. And so let's just go directly to the next slide.
Cool. So imagecreditfreshworks.com. What does this even mean?
So this is a basic sales funnel. And so we were talking about query-based marketing and intent-based marketing. We were talking about Google Shopping, Google Display Ads, all this. So we're gonna look at this for a moment. This is a visualization of a sales funnel, right? So if you're going to buy, I don't know, give me an example.
Does it have to be high ticket?
No.
A water bottle.
That all right. Well, okay. Well, think about like a Yeti.
How about this? How about we buy this Russian hat? I'm going to put on my head right now.
It's going to be a bit delayed for me to see. But okay. Let's say we're going to buy Russian hats. So in order to even wind up at that stage, you must go through A, attention. The idea of a Russian hat existing must come into your attention. It must come into your mind. You must become aware of it. Another A that you can use for this stage. This is the top level of the sales funnel. You have just become aware that this thing exists. Before you said a Russian hat, Joe, I may have not known that there was such a thing as a Russian hat. And so now I'm at the A. And then we have the I, which is the interest. So now I know that it exists. Joe, I see you wearing it. It looks kind of warm. It looks like it can protect my head in the winter. This is something that intrigues me. And then we have the D, which is desire. So I see the hat. I like the hat. And at the D stage, I am making the decision that I want the hat. What happens when I want the hat? Well, there's another big threshold you must cross. And that is getting the person who desires something to actually take action and acquire the hat. So these things go pretty smooth from the A to the I to the D to the A, but there's actually some big bridges we need to cross from this whole experience, because something like a hat, you know, there's things that may be easier to overcome than others, right? Say this hat was $5. For a lot of people, you know, if they see it out on the street, it's $5, they're cold. They may just become aware of it in that moment, say, oh, I'm cold. I want this hat. Oh, it's only $5. Here, take this. Give me the hat. And so in 5 seconds, they've gone through the whole process. However, if we're talking about a high ticket product or something that's a bit more complicated, the typical sales funnel is not this quick. So give me a high ticket example, Joe.
A mattress.
Okay. Say like the Casper mattress, right? That's a big brand. A lot of people have heard of them. So they spend thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars doing YouTube ads just at the A phase, because they need to make people aware that they're a mattress company that exists. So they're doing that just for awareness. And then in that ad, they're showcasing why their products are so great. So hopefully out of all the people, the hundreds of thousands or millions of people that they showed the ads to, maybe a certain amount of people will be like, wow, that's really interesting that it's made out of, you know, ghost materials. And they say, that's nice. It looks comfortable.
I just got
it
that.
Looks, you know, looks desirable. But then out of that portion, an even smaller portion of people may actually need a mattress at that given time or even a month or two down the road. So there's a small amount of people that need a mattress. And if you need a mattress, you're thinking, where do I know that I can get a mattress? I can go to Mattress Firm. I can go to Sleepy's. I can buy a Tempur-Pedic. Oh, there's Casper. I remember seeing that thing on YouTube, that video ad, and it looked interesting. It had some nice, you know, cooling aspects to it. All right, this could be a contender. And so they narrow down the results, and then they finally decide to buy one. So obviously, there's a reason it's a funnel.
I want to talk about something real quick, because we talked about this today. I want to talk about that A point, because I think people really underestimate how strong that action. Once they've reached that A, people always think, oh, I need to optimize my website. I need to do this. I need to do that. They focus on all these other things rather than focusing on getting the person that's at the A. And when they're at the A, there is nothing more powerful than that. And we've seen this not only in our stores, of course, but like, for example, we closed our course. Like we closed, like no one can buy it. Like I took all the buttons off our website. I hit everything, and I don't know how, but someone like found it today, like secretly, and like bought it. Like, I don't know. I literally have no idea how they did it. I'm trying to like figure it out how they found the page to buy it. But the point is that we didn't even have like a buy it now or like a add to cart or anything like that in anywhere visible. And they still, you know, it was either booked, like they had the checkout page bookmarked or something. I don't know exactly what they did, but they did that because they had such a desire to get, they had gone through this funnel. And once you go through the funnel, there's nothing stopping you from getting the end thing. So if you're looking for a Casper mattress and you've made that decision, and then say you go to Casper and say, oh, you know, they have like a back order for a month or something like that, it doesn't matter. Like you're still you're kind of like bought into that decision, and that's what you want. That's the kind of customer you want always. Someone that's bought into their like decision for the product they want, and they're gonna, you know, they're basically willing to like commit at that point, and that's gonna be the best money spent.
Yeah, that's the big point I was trying to get to. Is each stage of this, to get from one stage to the next, there's some level of buy-in required. To go from A to I is not that much. To go from I to D, that's a bit more. And then to go from D to A in a very serious fashion where they've absolutely decided they're taking action and they're buying this particular thing, that is the strongest hump to get over. And so once you can get over that, sales become pretty easy and pretty regular. And so this bottom stage is where we want to focus the majority of our attention when it comes to Google Ads, especially in the beginning. Keep in mind, this is for high ticket dropshipping. So we're going to get into why, logistically, how you can just stay in the A and why it's so important and what you can do once you're inside this A phase.
Yeah. By the way, that wasn't like a flex or anything. I just found it absolutely astounding. We've talked about that happened. That someone was able to find the checkout page for that. And we talked about the FOG behavioral model on this website. And basically, you know, when someone makes their decision, the barriers to getting what they want, you know, are very, they almost don't matter. They'll go to lengths that you won't expect them to get the product that they've decided on.
Yeah. So what we're looking at here now is a screenshot inside of one of our ad accounts. And it's probably a little bit blurry and people are listening on podcasts as well. So we'll just try to explain it as best as we can. So what you're looking at here is actually 4 years of consistent ad running. And so you can see things start out relatively small. So this first marker here, this first notch, I can't even see it on this. Hold on, let me pull it up in real life.
Let me make it a little bigger while you do that. I'll make it a little bigger.
Because I'm watching through YouTube.
Yeah, I'll cut off our faces for like a sec.
There you go. Okay. First notch is 4,000. Second notch is 8,000. Third notch is 12,000. So it's going in 4,000 increments. So over this 4 year period, you can see that there's been steady growth. So there's two graphs that we're looking at. The red line is conversions, and the blue line is cost. So when it comes to doing Google Ads for dropshipping, really, the key to the whole thing is increasing the amount of money that you spend over time, because more money means more traffic, which means more sales. And so there's a lot going on in between, but simplistically, this is what needs to happen if you want to grow a store. And so to get to that $100,000 a month mark, there's a certain threshold every store must cross to get consistent 100K months. And so each store is going to be different, because it's going to depend on your suppliers, it's going to depend on your products, it's going to depend on, I guess, how well your ads are running to a certain degree. But so for this store, this happens somewhere around the beginning of 2019. So this is around when we start hitting, say, $8,000 a month in ad spend.
So I'll just point that out with my mouse on the graph. So that's the blue line is 2019, around right here where we cross the $8,000 mark in ad spend. Now, let's just describe this a little bit better, because you know, especially for the people listening on the podcast. So what we have here is we have two lines, a red and a blue line. And the blue line, like Mike said, indicates our ad spend. And as you could see, both the ad spend and the number of conversions, which are recorded by Google, are rising over time. And actually, what's interesting is at the beginning, you know, they're closer together. So yep. We're spending less, we're getting less conversions than we get now, but we're getting
conversion rate is lower.
Right.
Is probably what you can assume from this.
Well, the conversion rate is higher back when we first started.
Yes.
And that's, and so as we go along, we have to spend more. So we have to break out of, if we go back to the model for a second, the image here, we have to break, we're sort of targeting more in that interest and desire phase rather than focusing strictly on the action phase. So as you see, the we're spending more, we're getting more conversions, but we're spending a little bit more per conversion. And I think how much you spend per conversion is kind of indicative of, I guess, how big of a company you are and how big you want your company to be. You mentioned earlier that Casper Mattress will go to like any lengths to, you know, to get you to from the top of the funnel all the way to the bottom. And if you're starting out, you don't necessarily want to do that because that's a lot of money. And as you can see, the more higher you target up on the funnel, the less desire there is, the more you're going to have to spend.
Yeah. And so to clarify here, in the last slide, I said you want to focus on strictly being in that A range. And so for the first couple years of this website, that's definitely what we did. And so you can see the divergence in conversions and traffic. And so you can see that's when we start to really branch out. But it was at that point that we had a solid proof of concept as to what was selling, as to how much money we would make on things, as to, you know, the direction we wanted to go with the store. And so it's important to note that if conversion rate goes down, I really do not care. All I care about is how much am I spending and how much am I making? Why would you care about anything else? The conversion, no one is judging you based on your conversion rate. No one knows your conversion rate besides for you. The only thing that matters is how much money you're going to wind up with in the bank, how big of an exit you can come up with, and how much you're learning. Also keep in mind that for this store in particular, conversions are sometimes not reported correctly because there's phone sales that come in.
Right. So of course, only we have that information on our end. Yeah. Google doesn't know if we got a conversion. And I noticed this, Mike. I noticed that when we have people that come to us that, you know, I guess they're on the more clever side of things. They've done a little bit of research and they're not coming into it with like a fresh mind, if you will. And then they'll ask us questions like, oh, what's your conversion rate? What should my conversion rate be? And I always have to break it to these people that, you know, this is, like, you should never be asking this question. Like, it's the wrong question to ask. It's just like asking, how much traffic do you get to your website? It's meaningless. It's a vanity metric.
Yeah, conversion rate is absolutely a vanity metric. And that's a big point that we're going to talk about here, is that what actually matters when it comes to Google Ads, when it comes to high-ticket dropshipping. And so, like I was saying, once you figure out what is selling, you understand the basic principles that we teach in our, you know, instant e-commerce asset course, as far as how to set things up correctly, how to actually run things in a segmented way, how to do some basic optimization. That's all ground level stuff that you should be able to figure out in the first 6 months, in the first year. And now you're going to start asking, okay, how do I take this to the next level? How do I start having consistent six-figure months? And it has to come down to increasing this traffic. So with that in mind, let's go to the next slide.
Oh wow, this is a this is a poorly scaled up screenshot. The aspect ratio is off, but it says 4,138,168.5 cents in sales. I don't even know what store this is from. But
the point I want to make with this is I'm comparing the sales graph. So this is the legit sales graph.
Oh, this is from the one we're looking at with the ads.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And I want people to notice how similar the sales graph is to the spend graph.
You know what I'll do, Mike? Let me copy and paste this. I'll paste it on the other slide so we can have a look here.
Sure.
Yeah. So they are remarkably similar, and I guess to describe it for the people just listening, as we increase in spend, we increase in sales. So it's not just the Google reporting, but it's also the conversions here on our end. And it's actually, if you look at the store itself, the sales on the store itself, it's actually way more than Google is reporting, probably because of, you know, what we talked about in terms of phone sales, some mm-hmm. organic conversions in there, some referral conversions in there. But it's all part of the same, you know, it's all part of the same puzzle, if you will.
Yeah. And an important note is that Yes, while conversions may not be 100% accurate, you can still gather some consistency from it, meaning it's still a graph that is, it's still going up in a similar trend to the overall sales, right? So it's not like I'm going into my ads and I'm noticing the same number of conversions as I was a year ago. And so, you know, I'm not writing that off as, oh, you know, we're getting sales over the phone and whatever. They're still going up in a similar pattern. So you can use that sort of data to conclude that you can still adjust your ads based off of the conversion data that you have in Google Ads. Even though it's not 100% accurate, it is still very consistent. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So consistency is key here. You don't like accuracy is
consistency
not
is more important than accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so and sometimes you don't have accuracy. So you have to go off consistency. And that's usually going to be the case with high ticket Google Ads. People are going to be calling. People may be shopping around for a bit. There could be long buying cycles, the whole thing. So as long as you have the number of conversions increasing with the spend in some proportional regard, then you know that you're on the right track.
All right. So I guess let's move on to the next slide. So the key principles. What are these, Mike? What is this?
So we kind of glossed over all these in the last 10 minutes or so, but it's going to be, you need to stay at the bottom of the funnel. So you need to focus on people who have the desire for the product and people who are willing to take action on the product. So if we think back to the types of Google Ads that I listed out, what do you think would be the best for those?
So when you say the types of Google Ads you listed out, we're saying shopping, search, display, and YouTube ads.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to be the worst. I would say YouTube ads are going to be the worst because typically you don't have that level of accuracy with YouTube ads and you cannot really control what people are typing in. Shopping ads, although you can't control the exact keyword that people are typing in, if you set up your campaigns the way we teach, you can definitely control it to some regard and, you know, target people that are in that A part of the funnel. So shopping ads are definitely up there. Search ads, you can target specifically what people are searching for, obviously. You know, and you can modify it to target, you know, just broaden out what they're searching or, you know, just add different modifiers to it. So Google display ads, I mean, that's mainly like retargeting stuff. So I would say, no, I would say it's between shopping and search ads, just depending on the situation and where you're at with stuff.
So I have some disagreements with you.
Well, I don't know. You told me to guess.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I wanted to get your input. So when it comes to YouTube ads, I think YouTube ads are far and away better than display ads because it's a more rich form of media because you can show someone an entire 30-second or 1-minute video or even, you know, do discovery ads where people will click on your video and watch several minutes. And in YouTube ads, you can actually you can't necessarily do query-based targeting, but you can do retargeting. So showing ads to people that have already visited your site, like you would with a display ad, but it's a better form of content. And you can target people who have searched particular things, even if they're not already part of someone who's visited your site.
Right.
So
you're not saying YouTube ads are better than shopping or search.
I'm not. I'm saying YouTube ads are better than display ads.
Oh, okay. Well, my bad. I was kind of like grouping those two in a similar tier.
Yeah. And actually, we do use YouTube ads on the store that we were showing the data for here. So I don't know what this – I guess, no, the graph is just clicks, so it's not going to take into account, like, impressions or anything like that and throw off the graph. But we at a certain point, we did start employing YouTube ads because we did want to branch out towards more people who have shown interest for a particular product that we sell, but maybe they haven't, you know, came on our website yet. It's just another way of reaching out. But yes, shopping ads, of course, although you can't control the keywords, Google is going to show shopping ads when it knows that there is already intent for a shopping type action, right? If you just search how are teddy bears made, kind of is aware that you're looking for information there. Will it show you a shopping ad? It shouldn't. But so Google Shopping understands that when it places you for something, these are people who have the highest level of intent in all of Google. And also, if someone is going to look at a product that is on the front page of their Google results page and see the price and click, then you know that person has some good form of intent. And of course, in the course, we teach how to eliminate bad searches and all these garbage things that you may wind up showing up for, but that can easily be eradicated in the first month of running ads.
Yeah.
And of course, Google search ads is extremely direct. You can target exactly what you want to show up for. You can even go a little bit more broad and say you want to show up for specific words. You can do that as well, but this is going to be more expensive and you may not show up for all the long tail searches that you can show up for, because Google typically doesn't place people for super long tail stuff with search ads. It's a lot harder to control that type of thing. Whereas with shopping, it will do that type of thing, and you can get really cheap clicks and really cheap conversions. So, yeah, cool. Going back to the key principles, we're talking about staying at the bottom of the funnel. We mean search ads, we mean shopping ads. Don't get into display ads, really. Don't get into YouTube ads until you have a store that is successfully running off of bottom of the funnel search ads and shopping ads. You don't need to.
Right. So
you absolutely don't need to.
Yeah. And that's when we talk about high ticket dropshipping as kind of our first method for most people for building an online portfolio, which is what we lay out in our free course, buildassetsonline.com/playbook. When we talk about high ticket dropshipping, it's because of this. It's because of the fact that you can immediately target people who are at the bottom of the funnel there, ready to buy. There's no other, I think I moved the thing. There's no other business model really where that lets you immediately say, okay, that lets you put targeted buyers that are that targeted right in front of you. And when I say targeted,
exactly. That's why we say this is for high ticket dropshipping only, not only because of the margin that you get from high ticket dropshipping. And so let's take the water bottle example again. Say you have this nice stainless steel water bottle that you're private labeling, Joey's water bottle. You're getting it for $2. You're going to sell it for $40.
Yeah.
Well, who's searching Joey's water bottle? Who has the desire to, who's ready to take action on Joey's water bottle?
Maybe no just, one even knows maybe it just me.
Just you. And that's why you're the only person with the elite fleece.
Yeah, we tried taking over the blanket game. It didn't work.
And that's what happens when you try and start a private label brand. You wind up with 500 of these stupid things that you thought people were going to want. Meanwhile, no one even knows it exists. How are they going to want it?
Yeah, we don't really have 500 places.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know what I'm getting at.
I want to focus in for a second, Mike, on the word on the word targeted, because there is an individual that you met. I'm not going to call him out by name. That he, my wife was working with him on some Instagram stuff. And he was throwing around that word with his like thing, like the package he was selling, like basically for, gaining Instagram followers and things like that. And he kept using that word targeted. And being the marketing guru that he claims to be, he literally had no understanding of what targeted meant, at least in the context we're talking about it. He's talking about targeted in reference to the stupid Instagram algorithm, which basically, like, it's almost meaningless. It's meaningless compared to someone searching for something. That is what targeted is. And if anyone tries to use targeted with you in a different context, tell them to F off, basically. Because you'll see it thrown around. I was surprised because we always talk about targeted in this context. If someone's not ready to buy right then, that's not targeted to us.
Yeah.
We're happy to work them through the funnel and get them to be a targeted buyer, but that's not our bread and butter, if you will.
Yep. And I do want to talk for a second about, we talked about Joey's water bottle. No one's going to be searching for Joey's water bottle, but you can make sales through people, hypothetically, just searching stainless steel water bottle.
Yeah, you can.
So people would say, while they may be searching stainless steel water bottle, they may not be aware of Joey's water bottle. They're aware of a stainless steel water bottle. They're aware that they want a stainless steel water bottle. And so once they find Joey's water bottle, they look at it, maybe they do a bit of a comparison to other stainless steel water bottles, it's very easy for them to cross over all those bridges, specifically for Joey's water bottle, because they've already decided they want that product type.
Yes.
So I don't want to get the idea of targeted and the idea of like high intent or bottom of the funnel exclusively married to something just being like a branded search, because you can have things for generic as well that you can convert really well off of. And that's the distinction I wanted to make.
Yes, but I think we can agree. I think we can agree on this point that targeting someone on social media for the first time, this is their first interaction with your website, that will never be targeted.
Yes.
Ever. So don't get it twisted, as they say.
Yeah, and that's why intent-based marketing, social media marketing is the destruction of so many dropshippers. These people take these courses, they're going to do dropshipping, they're going to do Facebook ads, and they're failing right from the beginning. They have no chance because they're not doing query-based, high-intent, targeted traffic.
Yeah.
These people that teach these courses are trying to get these newbies to learn how to eloquently do a Casper mattress style sales funnel, taking them from awareness down all the way to desire, and doing it in a profitable way when you only make like $10 per sale.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Casper, like a company like Casper that does that effectively, like they have a professional marketing team that can do, like they are equipped to do that. You in your house are not equipped to do that.
Yeah.
And I let's see. Well, let's continue with the presentation. So Mike, you put this quote here: the business that can spend the most to acquire a customer wins.
Yes.
By Dan Kennedy.
Yes. And that's, again, something we were kind of alluding to during this this podcast, whatever we're doing right now. And you may not have even been aware that this was in here, Joe.
Well, how does it exactly explain it in the context of this podcast? Because we're not always talking about here spending the most to acquire a customer. We're talking about spending the least to acquire the customer at first, and then gradually spending more year over year to acquire those more the less targeted customers.
So it's more of a goal to keep in mind, and it applies really at all stages. It doesn't have to just apply to the idea of the Casper mattress and they're going to spend the most to, you know, get everyone aware and do all this type of stuff to work them down to the buying funnel. At one level, it could mean, so if we think about, you know, the graph that was going on in the beginning, we had really good conversion rate in the first couple of years of running ads.
Right.
And so if you're doing targeted traffic, once you figure out what's converting, now you can start to spend more on those keywords and on those products. And so the cost per conversion may go up, but you're prepared for that and you're okay with that because you know it'll still be profitable for you.
Right. So at first, for those first few years, and honestly, we'd probably do this faster now, but we were really trying to master, get that bottom of the funnel traffic to be the best that it could possibly be before moving on to the stuff that we knew was going to be more expensive.
Yeah. So even when it comes to the bottom of the funnel, I want to be spending the most for bottom of the funnel stuff because I know what works.
You want to be spending the most on what works. You don't want to be spending the most willy-nilly.
Correct. Correct. And so I also put this quote in here in relation to the idea of competition, because every year people ask, is dropshipping dead? Is it too late for me to do dropshipping? What about all the competition? And so this is a quote to keep in mind, is that first of all, the sooner you get in, the more you can create that traffic snowball and hone in on what you want to spend money on. And once you're at that stage, it's really hard for people to come and compete with you because you're already going to be spending a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking up a good amount of market share.
Right. Yeah. It's not something that they can just turn on overnight. Exactly. Unless they were to somehow be able to like copy your ad campaigns and copy your store.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not to say that if you're new, there's no hope because everyone's going to be taking up the market share. One, you'd be surprised at how bad people are at ads. You'd be very surprised. Two, like big box companies, they can't really do this at the level that you can because they have millions of products. So they simply don't have the resources to be doing like targeted bottom of the funnel acquisition stuff like this. And even like for shopping ads, the beauty of shopping ads is that even if someone is getting a lot of clicks, you can still start by getting a very small piece of the pie. It's not going to cost you that much. because maybe you're not showing up at the top, but you're showing up, you know, lower down. People will click that over time and the data will come in. Although it will be slower, it will be cheaper. Yeah. And so the point is that you just need to get started, because the sooner you get started, the sooner you can figure out what works. And then the sooner you can ramp up and get that snowball effect going.
Right. So what you're really doing here is you're building up brand by brand, product by product, finding the most effective ways to get things to convert, whether that's in shopping, whether that's in search ads. You're finding the best things that work in those worlds, and you're dialing that in your ads account. And then as a result, your ads account is maturing, air quotes, and you're just building on that and building on that and building on that. And this is not something that the big brands have the time or resources or, you know, even the desire to do, because like you said, they have millions of products and other people are just bad at it. So, you know.
Yeah. Like big brands, for them, saving some money at the bottom of the funnel when they have 1,000, 10,000 employees, who cares? It's more advantageous for them to just do these large ad buys so they can capture a lot of this awareness. And they're already so big and they have so much out there that it's feasible for them to work people all through the funnel. And also they're going to wind up coming back. So there's a larger game in mind there. It's not a game that we want to play because we're just two bald guys trying to make some money. We're not, you know, a publicly traded company. And so most people watching this are in the same boat, although they may not be bald.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they are.
Maybe they are.
Yeah. Pretty interesting stuff, Mike. I hope people got a lot out of this presentation.
Yeah, I think it was a bit dense, but yeah. Maybe something people can come back to. But did we go through it?
Yeah, that's it. Let us know in the chat if you have any questions. While that's happening, of course, I want to remind people, buildassetsonline.com/playbook to get our free course. I don't know what just happened. I think there was like a sound issue, but buildassetsonline.com/playbook, get our free course. But you linked the wrong thing, Mike. My brain is saying one thing, but I'm reading a different thing because the slide was messed up.
I changed it.
Yeah. buildassetsonline.com/playbook, last time I'll say it. I want to draw an interesting dichotomy. We just talked about Google Ads, and I don't want to confuse people too much, but I always like to be, you know, transparent about the dichotomy between what we do in our dropshipping stores and what we do on Build Assets Online, because it really is kind of two different things. Now, for Build Assets Online, we are focusing on more social media stuff like YouTube, podcasts, than we ever would with a dropshipping store. And, you know, that's because it's first of all, the product we sell, the courses, the membership that we sell, it's 100% margin. And, you know, we put it out there, you know, people can get to know us, they see if they want to work with us or whatever, because they have to, you know, hear us talk and see our face, our bald heads, for a little bit. So it helps with that. Yeah. But it's really two different games is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we had to make people aware that we were bald, and then we had to get them interested in the fact that we were bald, and then we had to get them to desire to be bald themselves. And then they take action and buy our course and shave their head.
That should be a requirement, even for the ladies.
Yeah, like a Buddhist monk, the monastery.
Yeah.
But Brian is in the chat. He said he's half bald. And I saw Brian in the Elite Fleet saying he got a $4,000 sale yesterday. So that's what we're talking about here.
Maybe it's time to go all the way, Brian. Maybe
it would have been $8,000.
Yeah. Maybe that's the next step.
Yeah, I think also if you go back and look at this graph over time, it does scale proportionally with me losing hair as well. So there's another correlation going on that we didn't account for.
Yeah.
Hopefully that didn't invalidate anything we just said.
Yeah. Like, I mean, correlation equals causation every time. So
yeah, every time.
Dion says, I'm shaving my head today. What's up, guys? One question. What do you think about commercial brewery beer making machines? I don't actually know that much about those. I guess it depends on the size of what you're talking about here, because I've been on like a brewery tour and some of that stuff is like really, really big. Like, I would assume it's like hundreds.
Yeah, they're not going on, you know, Joey's commercial brewery and buying that.
Yeah, I would assume it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But maybe for like smaller, for smaller.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some things in the realm of that industry you can get into. So you know, in the course we talk about like how to actually go about picking a website and like designing your website. And so I don't want to get into all the specifics here, but doing something like this is something we would advise against because you're narrowing yourself down too much. It's commercial, it's beer making machine. So it's really only one product type. You want to have multiple product types, but you're thinking definitely in the right direction. And even if that doesn't work, there's definitely some things very, very adjacent to that product type that will work. So that's the key.
Yeah, I honestly don't know much about it. There might be, I mean, home brewing might be in the realm of possibility. Like, you know, there might be something in the middle of where you could go, but, you know, like Mike said.
Yeah, I'm saying there's like,
don't, yeah.
You know, I know the beer tours you're talking about, Joe. And like, yeah, you may not be buying one of these industrial hop mixer machines. And, you know, you might not be able to get like a wholesale deal on that. But there may be other things in the whole process that you can capitalize on in the commercial beer brewing process that you can sell.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, we got people dropping off. Well, we got people dropping off and then coming on. So Dion says, if we get one of the individual courses, would it decrease our monthly membership payment? No, because the membership is the only thing we have open. Like the membership is the only thing. There's no individual courses anymore.
Yeah, they're dead.
I mean, hopefully I've removed all the payment pages from everywhere. So I don't know if someone might be able to sneak the individual courses somehow, but as we're not really encouraging or want people to buy them like anymore. It's just the membership.
Yeah, I mean, Elite Fleet Plus is a much better situation for everyone because you get access to all of our courses. They all blend into each other. You get access to all the continuing education stuff, you know, so, and you get access to the coaching. So they're really inseparable.
Elite Fleet Plus is the best online education program for those who are starting to build their online business portfolio.
Yeah. Never been anything like it in the history of the earth.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's been a fun stream, guys. And there seems to be no more questions. So I guess let's take it out.
Take it out and let's take it easy. Thank you, guys. And yeah, buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Get our free course. Get notified when we open up more slots of the Elite Fleet Plus. And until next time, take it easy.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.